You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Good to have you with us, looking ahead to the action on Sunday, the 4th of February. It's the second day of the Dublin Racing Festival and you can hear it all live on Racing Radio, in addition to a really good car from Musselburgh, actually. And they're also racing at Taunton. 12:30 is the time, and it'll be Jason Taunton, Will Hayler and James Millman in the studio taking you through all of that. But for now, here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby. And I'm joined in the studio by Andy Gibson. Andy, how are you?
I'm very good. It's been a very exciting day, hasn't it?
It really has. Yeah, as we record this on Saturday, there's been some fantastic tussles and a really change. Well, obviously, we've had a great day of racing in and of itself, but going forward, it's really shaken up the picture as well.
Definitely. I'm sure there'll be some very interesting price changes to debate a little while after we have a look at tomorrow's racing.
There certainly will. So you've got a couple of bets ready for the action on Sunday, and they both come from Leopardstown, is that right?
Indeed. Shall we get on with them?
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, well, the first one is a shorty, and the second one's a bit of a bigger price. I've backed a horse called Espoir d'Alain for the Triumph Hurdle at 7 or 8 to 1. And tomorrow, I think we have an awful lot of significant evidence to suggest that it'll be very difficult to beat in the Spring Juvenile Hurdle, the Grade 1, the 115 at Leopardstown. Last time out, he beat Far Class, who takes him on again. And back in third was Michuka, who he'd already beaten previously. He's been really impressive. He's done one good time, a couple of slow times. He just looks like a horse who is going to prove to be, I would say, you know, he's going to be one of the best two or three juveniles we've seen at this moment in time. And I think the evidence, that, you know, the two horses that finished behind him have clearly got to improve to beat him. I know he's quite short. He's 8 to 11. He might be a little bit, he might be 4 to 5, 10 to 11 on the day. But it'd be that sort of price, and I think it'd be extremely difficult to beat. I'll be very disappointed if he does get beat, of course, because it will seriously hamper my bet on him in the Triumph Hurdle.
The top-rated Irish juvenile hurdler so far this season, and also, as you mentioned, beat Farkless, who's the nearest market rival on Sunday's race, and was giving Farkless a little bit of weight on that occasion. They meet off level today.
Yeah, and obviously he's had more experience, so perhaps the other horse is open to more improvement. But I think that Espoir d'Alain won with a fair bit in hand that day, a fair bit up his sleeve, and I think he's a little bit better than that. So I'd expect him to win with maybe not win with his head in his chest, but I certainly think he'll win with something to spare.
Espoir d'Alain, the shorty then. What's the one at a slightly bigger price?
Slightly bigger. I think you mentioned he's round about 7 to 2 with William Hills at the moment, and that's in the Flogger's Chase, the Willie Mullins horse, invitation only. The point of interest with this horse for me is that 2 runs ago, when he ran at Navan on the 9th of December, he posted a time that was much quicker than Tombstone over on the same day. Now, Invitation Only ran over 2.5 miles that day. Tombstone was running over 2 miles. Invitation Only was carrying £12 more, and yet he was several seconds quicker than Tombstone on the final circuit. It was a really impressive performance on the clock, and I thought it marked him up as a horse that's a little bit better than his form in beating Any Second Now would suggest. Any Second Now was finished second to 3 good horses, including Footpad, of course, who won today. And one of those horses is Invitation Only. And I think he's probably a player in the JLT. And I think he'll run extremely well tomorrow at round about 7 to 2.
Invitation Only then for William Mullins and Paul Townend in the Flogger's Novice Chase. That's 3 o'clock at Leopardstown on Sunday. So now we've got 2 bets for Sunday out the way. Shall we have a look back at some of Saturday's action?
I think we should.
It's pretty fresh as we record this. In fact, we record this just minutes, really, after the Irish Champion Hurdle. We'll get on to that in a minute. But if we start by having a look at some of the earlier races on the card at Leopardstown in the Dublin Chase, which, looking at some of the horses lining up in this race, couldn't believe it was a Grade 2. Minna's run out a very impressive winner, beating Simply Ned by 12 lengths. Surely puts the horse in the champion chase picture. But York Hill disappointing on the drop in trip.
Yeah, it was a big drop in trip for York Hill from 3 to 2. Just because he didn't handle it on this one occasion doesn't mean to say he wouldn't handle it on the benefit of this experience. But let's face it, he's been a little bit quirky in the past. His jumping has not always been that fluent in the past, so it wasn't the biggest shock in the world when he struggled round over the sharper trip today. It was a very fast run race with Special Tiara out in front. I suspect they'll be absolutely delighted with Special Tiara. He ran away with Robbie Power a little bit. He was very fresh, very well. But the object of the exercise with Special Tiara would have been to get him round and complete the course after him falling at the eighth fence at Kempton in the Desert Orchid Chase over Christmas. So they'll be delighted with him. He will run an awful lot better on the faster ground at the Cheltenham Festival when he defends his Champion Chase crown. As for Min, he was absolutely superb over his fences. The form in itself doesn't add up to that much in terms of the Champion Chase, because Special Tiara obviously wants faster ground. Simply Ned isn't good enough, and I think plenty of horses in England would beat Simply Ned by more than the distance that Min did today. It was the style of Min's victory, and you can understand him being supported down to 3 to 1 for the Champion Chase. The key with that, of course, is that let's see what happens to Duvan.
Yeah.
Because if Duvan comes back, will Richie Rich want two horses in one race, or will he send one of them for the Ryanair? If he does, I don't know, you'd probably think Min was the more likely to go for the Ryanair, which I think he's currently around about a 6 to 1 chance.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in a rush to put either of these horses up in trip, to be honest, but Richie is an owner who doesn't like putting his horses against each other, though having said that, he did run Paddy Casey in this race against Min.
Sure, and maybe in terms of the... Well, Richie Rich didn't, of course, because York Hill's owned by somebody else. But Min... If Min went for the Ryanair, I would be really happy because I've backed Top Notch for the Ryanair, and I would seriously fancy Top Notch to outstay Min over that 2 mile 5 trip. Over the 2 miles, I've backed Politilog at the moment for the Champion Chase. I may have another bet nearer the day, and I would be seriously concerned about Min after that performance today.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent.
Just while we're on the Champion Chase, do you think they're going to get Duvan back for it?
Well, I saw an interview with Willie Mullins last week, and he just said, look, we're just taking it a day at a time. And, he's not going to say any more than that. You'd have to say that if Duvan did come back for the Champion Chase, I would still be more worried about Min, because Min has proven himself to be in top form today. And I'd still be more worried about Min if I'd have had another bet in the Champion Chase than I would be about Duvan coming back after a long time off.
Min ran out an impressive winner of the Dublin Chase, a Grade 2, the second race at Leopardstown on Saturday. And we had another impressive winner in the next race, the Irish Arkle. Well, technically, the Arkle, but the Irish Arkle to us here in Britain. Footpad justified odds on favouritism to beat market rival Petit Mouchoir. And this horse has been lauded for his jumping, and he's really secured his place at the head of the market for the British Arkle, if you like, the Cheltenham Arkle.
Yeah, rather like Minnie, was brilliant over most of his fences, and probably at his worst at the last fence. Petit Mouchoir was a little bit sluggish on this first start in over 100 days. He's obviously had a setback since he won at the end. I think it was October the 28th he won. There's no way that Henry de Bromhead would have wanted him off the course that long without if he'd have been fit and ready to run. So I think that actually Henry de Bromhead will be absolutely thrilled with Petit Mouchoir. His jumping warmed up. He was very good over the last 3 or 4. He made up ground on Footpad from the last, admittedly partly because Footpad was not being hard ridden. But even though there was 5 or 6 lengths in between them at the last, when you look at the prices now... Now listen, if you're on Footpad at a big price, good luck to you, you've got yourself a great bet. But if you're looking now, Footpad's round about even money. Petit Mouchoir, I think, is 7 to 1 with Hills. If you look at the two prices now, then there's only one bet you would want at this point in time, which is Petit Mouchoir. Because the difference in prices between the two exaggerates the differences in their respective claims for the race. Footpad has the better chance, but not by much. When you look at their overall profiles, Petit Mouchoir over hurdles last year beat Footpad 3-0.
At also, Cheltenham as well.
He beat him at Cheltenham. He beat him at Leopardstown, I think, twice. Mm. So you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't say there was an awful lot between them. You throw in So Royal. So Royal was in a similar sort of position in the Champion Hurdle. There's not a lot between the three of them on form over hurdles. So although Footpad has been very, very good, you'd also say So Royal was very good at Sandown on his penultimate start, and you'd say Petit Mouchoir was very good on his chasing debut. So although Footpad doesn't look the likeliest of the three to make a mistake, you know, these things happen in festival races, and he's even money. So you there's no room for error. There's no margin for error in that price at all, whereas in Petit Mouchoir, you might say, well, look, he might make a mistake, but actually he's 7-1, and I get a massive reward if he doesn't make a mistake. With Footpad, you've lost that angle now because he's even money. So at the moment, I would say Petit Mouchoir offers far greater value than Footpad for the Arkle in March.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens if and when these two horses meet again in the Arkle in March at the Cheltenham Festival. Footpad beating Petit Mouchoir on this occasion, though, of course, as you mentioned, Petit Mouchoir coming back off the back of an absence, and should be able to progress from the run. The Irish Champion Hurdle was the feature race on the first day of the Dublin Racing Festival, and Super Sunday got up to beat Forheen on his first run since being pulled up over Christmas. Mick Jazz was back in third, and what did you make of this performance, Andy? I was a bit surprised. I was either expecting Forheen to completely blow out again like he did on his last start, or I was expecting him to win. The fact that he's been beaten only narrowly is a little bit puzzling to me.
Well, last time out, Paul Townend said that he pulled him up because he just felt no power underneath him. Now, if he'd have carried on riding Forheen on that day, perhaps he would have run in the finish in a similar fashion as he did today. In terms of the form of the race, then obviously it's an awful long way behind, below Champion Hurdle form. Super Sunday is a surprising winner, but if you look at the proximity of Mick Jazz in third place, then you'd have to say that Forheen is running, you know, a stone and more below his best. So at this late stage of the day, I think I would be very, very surprised if Forheen turned up in the Champion Hurdle. And on the back of two disappointing runs, I think it would be very difficult to recommend supporting him, even if he did turn up.
You think he'll miss the race altogether?
Well, listen, I think we're only just after the race. Willie Mullins isn't going to be saying, he's too long in the tooth to be saying anything like that. But what he'll do is he'll get him back home and he'll have a look at him and they'll work him and they'll just make some assessment over the next few weeks. There's no pressure on him to make a decision or in this week or next week. And historically, that stable will let everybody know a few days before the festival. The question of whether I would be interested in him if he ran at the festival is another matter altogether. I suppose if he was 14s or 16s and completely forgotten about, you might throw away a small win bet, a token win bet, and say, well, look, if he comes back to his best. But he's not going to be that, is he? He's so hyped. I don't know what price we've gone with Hills at the moment, but on the day, I mean, what will he be? He'll still only be five or six to one chance on the day.
Well, a lot of this will be affected by what Bouvardet's done at Sandown as well, winning the contenders.
Well, you know, he scrambled home by a length or two, but obviously he was idling in front and Barry was keen not to be too hard on him.
I think he could have won by a lot. If I'm being perfectly honest, I don't think it was Barry Geraghty's finest hour in the way he eased him down close home and then had to shake him up again.
Yeah, and they won't want him to have a tough race on soft ground round Sandown, 5 weeks before the festival. So in that sense, you can understand that Barry Geraghty would be having that on his mind. But I don't think he was ever going to look impressive in a three-runner race round Sandown in the mud.
Forheen's 8-1 for the Champion Hurdle, by the way.
Yeah, and if he was trained by somebody else on the back of that performance, of course he'd be 16s or 18s.
Yeah.
Now, if he turns up at the festival and he's the second favourite, then what I would do, my thinking right now is I would be very keen to look in the without the favourite market and see Forheen as a very weak favourite of that market. Bouvardet is a very strong favourite of the Champion Hurdle market and I think there's no point taking him on. But I think Forheen is definitely worth taking on in the without the favourite market. So my personal hope will be for Forheen, if he runs, for him to be, 4-1, 9-2 on the day, second favourite, be 5-4, 6-4 in the market without the favourite, and then we might have some value elsewhere in that market. That would be my play on it.
This stage, would you have any opinions on who that horse might be?
It wouldn't be Melon, and perhaps we're scrambling around At the moment, the horse that I think is most likely to finish in the first three without winning is My Tent or Yours.
It got previous with doing that sort of thing, hasn't
he? He has, and so in that sense, you're not asking him to do anything that he hasn't done before. When you look at the current market, Fahine's second favourite, York Hill is 10-1 third favourite, My Tent or Yours 16s. Well, if Fahine and York Hill both end up there, they both have their quirks, shall we say, at this moment in time, and My Tent or Yours, you know, will probably run his race on the day. So it, when the non-runner no-bet market comes out for the without the favourite market, My Tent of Yours might be very interesting at 5 or 6-1 third favourite.
A quick word on Defi Desai, who has drifted like a barge in the betting. We were talking about him potentially even being favourite earlier in the week. He's gone off 9-1 and finished a well-beaten 7th.
Very disappointing run. What you would have to say is that although the Philip Hobbs Yard had 3 winners in one day earlier in January, that they haven't had the best of times lately. I know they had a winner in a two-runner race last week, but generally speaking, he's on
12s on as well in that race.
Yeah, he's won 2 from 14 races in the last 14 days, but one of them was in a two-runner race and he was 1-12, and that's with a very nice horse called Springtown Lake, who beat absolutely nothing. You know, the stable haven't quite got back to form yet. So I think with Defi Desai, his 2 runs have coincided with when the Hobbs Yard has been badly out of form. I'd draw a line through both of them, but it may well be too late for the festival for that horse.
Do you think they'll go to the festival with him?
I think that they need to keep you know, that like the rest of us, they'll be keeping a close eye on the form of the Yard's runners. And what's the point of having a go with him at the festival if the stable are in no better form? Now listen, Philip Hobbs is one of the top 3 or 4 trainers around. It's only a matter of time before his horses come back to form, and we might find that he has a particularly good festival because of what's gone on in the meantime. He might have 3 or 4 well-handicapped horses who've run badly because the stable's been out of form. I think that along with 2 or 3 other stables, Philip Hobbs is a stable to keep a close eye on for March, because he's been out of form for a couple of months, and you might get a few surprising prices about 1 or 2 of his.
Quick word on a couple of the other good graded races we've had here in Britain this afternoon on Saturday. Terrafort won the Scilly Isles, beating Surname only by a neck in the end. They were an absolute mile clear of the rest of the field, dominating this race as the market suggested they would, and presumably going to the JLT now.
Terrafort, possibly. I mean, this was soft ground. The form of his Huntingdon win last time out didn't stack up very well. You'd have to say he was in that sort of vicinity. You know, JLT is rated 151. He's getting £3 today from Surname because of his age allowance. He'd probably be 154 or something like that after today. That would get him placed in an average JLT. The key with him will be how he would act on a faster surface, which we don't know.
There was also graded action at Wetherby with the Taunton Novices Chase Ballyoptic narrowly beating Vintage Clouds, getting up barely late in the day, seeing off a strong challenge from Vintage Clouds to win this one. They were joint favourites, so again the market got this one spot on in the Grade 2 contest. And what did you make of this performance, Andy?
Well, Ballyoptic I think is now 20s or 25s I think for the RSA Chase, and you know, maybe that is even shorter than it should be. I'm not sure, because to me, he's a Welsh Grand National horse for me for next season. He's not a Cheltenham Festival horse. I don't think his jumping would stand up to a fast-paced race around Cheltenham on quicker ground. He, even at Exeter on soft ground 3 runs ago, he got in close to 3 or 4 down the far side. He looked at his best in the home straight at Exeter that day when it became a real sort of staying contest. And likewise today, he was in third place today with 2 to jump, you know, but we were talking off air in the studio and saying he still was probably the likeliest winner because the race had been run in such a quick time that a stayer like him was going to come to his optimum in the final stages, and that's what he did. He doesn't look festival material to me. He looks Welsh Grand National next year.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about any of the action on Saturday?
Not on Saturday, but there's Musselburgh tomorrow. There's some really interesting runners tomorrow at Musselburgh. First of all, we've got We Have a Dream, one of the favourites for the Triumph Hurdle. Looks like it's going to be a bit of a shoe-in in the 125 tomorrow at Musselburgh. The horse that I'm particularly interested in is Claim and Take and Forgan, who have backed a big price for the Supreme. He's odds on tomorrow for the Supreme Scottish Trial Novices Hurdle. That's a mouthful. The 2 o'clock at Musselburgh. He'll like the better ground, and I'm expecting him to win. I'm hoping he's going to win very impressively and shorten up again for the Supreme. So he's the horse over the weekend that I'm probably now most interested in watching, certainly on Sunday.
And there's good action at Leopardstown as well. The Irish Gold Cup forming the centrepiece of the second day of the Dublin Racing Festival. Do you have a strong view on whether our Duke can bounce back to form?
I wouldn't have a strong view on that at all, but I think it's a really interesting race. I think there's a number of possibilities in there. Jack Adam's obviously out to recapture his form. I think on his average Leopardstown form, he's more likely to finish in the first three or four than win. Manila Rocco, is a horse that will, on past experience, improve dramatically in the springtime. So I'd like to see an encouraging effort from him. If he's a big price on Gold Cup day, then you know you could see him running in the first four in a Gold Cup at the festival again. The horse that I thought ran with real promise last time in what was the Lexus Chase over Christmas, it's got a different name now, is Valsalido from the Henry de Bromhead Yard. When he ran in that race, he'd been off the track for, in fact, a year to the day.
The same race last year.
He came fourth to Outlander the year before. This time he came fifth. He wasn't given a hard time when he started dropping out. And I think I can see Valsalido running well and outrunning. I think he's about 10-1 tomorrow, isn't he?
Valsalido is 9-1 at the time.
9-1. I could see him, you know, running in the first three or four, perhaps even better. But certainly he is the horse that caught my eye for this race.
Right, we are very firmly out of time now, Andy, but good to cram lots in on the weekend's action. What a fine weekend it's been so far. We look forward to the rest of it. You can hear it live on Racing Radio, of course. And thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Been a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.